Right, so we were, I want to finish up the sugya today. So we were in the middle of the tzlach, and then maybe we'll read on a little in the Gemara if we get to that point. So we had just discussed how the tzlach was trying to explain, okay, there are two ways to understand why peiros ha'ilan, if you make a bore pri ha'etam peiros ha'adam peiros ha'on yotze. One is that even though ikar the ilan, that's the expression, ilan lav ikar arahu, that ikar ilan lav arahu, even if you say that, you're still going to say that you can make a bore tree, ha'adama, your yotze, on fruits of the tree, because the Torah calls fruits of the tree pri ha'adama. So when you say borei pri adama, it has to work. Whatever the reason, what it is, whatever the reason that it works. So I suggested yesterday that according to the way the tzlach is reading for the rabbanon, when you say pri adama, the adama is the tree, but it's called adama. Like, there's no contesting that it's called pri adama. Now, for Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that the Torah calls it pri adama, for him, his proof is that the primary growth of the fruit comes from the eretz. You wouldn't call it pri ha'adama if it were only a minority coming from that. But the Rabbanon are perfectly comfortable having it called pri ha'adama, even though the primary source of nourishment from the tree is the ilan, nonetheless, it's still okay to call it pri ha'adama. Okay, so now, so there are two reasons why you might be yotze with ha'adama on an apple. So then why did the Gemara say that this price, this mission is Rabbi Yehuda? Why did it say Mantana Rabbi Yehuda? So the Tlas says it's because the second part of the Mishnah. So the second part of the Mishnah said that if you made a Bore Pri Ha'etz on a Pri Ha'adama, you're not Yotze. So the Gemara that we read yesterday at the end, the Gemara said, well, of course, why would you be Yotze if it doesn't grow from a tree? So the Gemara's answer is that this Mishnah was only, everybody agrees to the din. For the Rabbanan, presumably it's pshita, but for Rabbi Yehuda, it's not pshita, because Rabbi Yehuda says that wheat, that the Eitz Hadas was wheat, and therefore, you might have thought that on wheat, if you said, Borei Pri Ha'Eitz, you would be Yotze, so that's why the Mishnah has to tell you that on any Pri Adama, including wheat, if you make a Borei Pri Ha'Eitz, you're not Yotze. Why? Why not Yotze? Well, because the definition of an eitz, pri eitz, is hecha dechi shakalta le peret isa legvaza v'hadar mapik. If you take away the fruits, the stem is still there, and it produces fruit again. And since by wheat, once you cut the wheat, there's no stem, you don't cut just the kernels off the top. And then what's there, and then the stalk of the grain regrows wheat next year. It's not the way it works. And therefore, you do not make a Borei Pri Ha'etz. Borei Pri Ha'etz is not even good binyana. Because apparently, the definition of Borei Pri Ha'etz for the purposes of Hilchos Brachos is different than Borei Pri Ha'etz for the definition of the word Eitz for the story of Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, the Eitz Hadas Tov HaRa can be wheat, but in the Mishnah, when we talk about wheat, it has to be something where the Chishak Olei the Peirei, the Isay Legvaza of Ahadanapi. Alright. So, the Tzlach continues. Who would like to read for me?
Go ahead. I don't know if that's a rent
topic. That I can help you with. So, let's read from Ba'amnam. We read the first few lines, but read it again. Ba'amnam.
Ba'amnam, mashallah. Lach. שלח תסור לרב נחום פרדסות, כמי מה שמשנסים רב יהודה היא, כמי שהוכחתי שגם רבון עמוד לעין ברכה מירה את המכניסים את הקוש יעשה. זה משנסים ועדי סבירה דלו מהני מצטטת איגר, אלא אחר האיגר הזה.
Okay, our Mishnah, again, what it means, the Rabbanon say that you can say Borei Pri Adama on a fruit, because even though the primary sustenance of the fruit comes from the tree, the lesser source of sustenance for the fruit comes from the ground. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. if the lesser amount of nourishment, if the lesser source were the ground, not the tree, then you would not be able to say Bari Pri Adama even b'di'evet. But because, you know, you wouldn't say that acknowledging the Adama is sufficient. But because the Ikar Ilan Arahu, therefore, you can be Yotzei with the Bracha Bari Pri Adama. One could, of course, ask the question, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how are you Yotzei with Bari Pri Ha'itz and Pri Ha'itz on Paris Ilan? If the primary source is the ground. Yeah.
You've got Elon Arafi too, but it's still Elon.
Okay, fine. So that means that the earth is an Elon. It's a little funny, but you'd have to say, because that was the Takana. The Takana was to make a Bari Pri Ha'etz on the things that even though the Iker comes to the ground. The catch is that was the Takana Rabbanim, but Midaraisa by Yikurim, you wouldn't expect it to be called Pri Adama if it weren't actually Pri Ha'adam. Continue. Okay, so he's explaining like this. Why is it that you can't make a Bari Pri Ha'etz on wheat? Or we might say in Tosfos why you can't make it on strawberries. Why? Because the ikar is not coming from the stalk, and the ikar is not coming from the strawberry, the gvaza of the strawberries. That's why you can't make a bari pri ha'etz on. There is an etz there. There is something that's like a tree, but you can't make a bracha on that because it's not the ikar of the growth. That's what he says. It's impossible that none of the gidol is coming out of the stem, that none of it is coming out of the saw. The ink came, lama lo shihe shayach lo goy preitz. Go ahead, Ella.
Ella vada is a lo mahani lo tana didon mitzas yanigo.
Okay, so therefore, what is the author of the second part of the Mishnah who says that it's talking about a chita, which is called an eitz, the eitz adas tovara, but nonetheless you can't make a very preitz on it. Why not? So he says, why, according to Rabbi Huda, can you not make a Bari Pri Ha'etz on the wheat? Because for Rabbi Huda, what is the essence in all areas of halacha? What? No. What is the reason for Rabbi Huda that you have to say that Ikar Ilan Arahu? And why is it that you would say that on a chita you cannot make a bracha Bari Pri Ha'etz, even though there is a stalk, even though there is a, whatever, runner in the case of the strawberries, which contribute in some way to the growth of the fruit? Why can't you say Bari Pri Ha'etz there? Because for Rabbi Yehuda, you never go basar. In Rabbi Yehuda, you always go where the majority of the nourishment comes from. And if the majority of the nourishment doesn't come from the wheat stalk, you're not Yotze even with the ever by calling Bari Pri Ha'etz. In other words, for Rabbi Yehuda, the question is, why can you not? Let me ask the question this way. To the Chachamim, why can you not make Bari Pri Ha'etz on wheat b'di'evet? Shimi?
Because it doesn't grow on a tree.
Because it doesn't grow on a tree. For Rabbi Yehuda, why can't you make Bari Pri Ha'etz on wheat? Don't tell me it doesn't grow on a tree, because it's called the Eitz Hadas. So why is it that, yeah?
Why can't you?
Rabbi Yehuda said, the Gemara says, Pshita lo nitzcha al Rabbi Yehuda, who says that chita is a menilah, in effect. So why is it then that you can't make a Bari Pri Ha'etz, Lewis?
It's mostly yonik
from the ground. He said it's impossible that it's not yonik a little bit via the stalk, via the gevasa. But it's mostly yonik from the ground. So the fact that Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a chita is an ilah, and still, b'di'evet you're not yotzei, shows that you don't go, bosar, mixas, yonika. Therefore, if Rabbi Yehuda, if the Sefer the Mishnah assumes that you can't go Basar the Miyut of Yenika to determine something, if the Miyut is like Kamisha Eino, and you only look at the majority, and therefore the majority of the wheat is from the ground, and therefore, even though Achita is an Elon, still, Bori Priyat is no good on it. Because you don't go Basar the Mitzvah Yenika, you go Basar the Iker Yenika, and the Iker Yenika is from the ground, not from the stalk of the wheat. If that's the principle that you employ in the Sefer of the Mishnah to explain it, that means that you never follow the mitzvahs, you always follow the ikar. So when you go to the reisha that says that if you made a bori pri ha'etz on, a bori pri adama on fruits of the tree, that you're yotze, well, what must that mean about the relationship between the fruits of the tree and the adama? The ikar is coming from the adama, which is ikar ilan alahu. Which means the ikar of the peros. We said this yesterday. The ikar of the peros is the ara.
I mean, if you look at an apple tree, most of the tree is the trunk, right? What's the difference between the wheat stalk and the trunk of the apple tree?
That's exactly the point of the reading in the Yerushalmi, which Rabbi Yehuda is avet ilan kikashin. Exactly. In other words, it's what's the difference? So we know the difference is that one stays there from year to year and produces fruits right out of the same thing.
Is Rabbi Yehuda agreeing for the
Gemaza thing? That is for Rabbi Yehuda what the definition of a tree is for bracha purposes.
So do we not,
is
that
not,
does the
Chacham not agree to that? That's what the Tzach doesn't state it, you know, Viracha Bitcha Ketana. You know what that expression is? You've heard it from me. Bitcha Ketana. When you talk about spelling something out in full detail, you say, you know, I spell this out to you, Baracha Bitcha HaKetana. Because remember, Yaakov had to say to Lavan, he didn't want to say Bit Rachel, because Yaakov would then bring a Rachel from the Shuk. He didn't want to say Rachel Bitcha alone, because Lavan would change their names and say, okay, now the older one's called Rachel. He said, Rashi quotes this. Instead, he says, Baracha Bitcha HaKetana. And still Lavan cheated him. But the point is, when you say, to say something, Baracha Bitcha HaKetana, means to spell it out in full detail. So you know that expression. Ronnie, that's not a Yiddish. Well, it's kind of a Yiddish-like expression. I understand. So that's the head start.
Oh, he was so wise. He went through all this. Then, boy, Lavan tricking him. And then he
stuffed it. No. So that's the expression. You spell something out, Baracha, but that still might be like an Ashkenazi-based Spanish language. It's not Yiddish, obviously. Okay. What? That would have been, you know, as Binchas, Chidcha, Asher, Haftas, Yitzhak would have been, but that's too long, yes. Baruch HaBitcha Ketana is pretty quick. All right, so anyway, he doesn't spell this out, Baruch HaBitcha Ketana, but the implication is yes. Because remember, what's a London's favorite activity? Even briskets. What? No. A Talmud Chacham's favorite activity is Lomid Torah. What's a London's favorite activity? No, more than that. No, that's a brisker. Brian? No! It's solving multiple questions is one thing. That's the great thing. That's your paint the puzzle. I have A problem, B, C, and magic, poof, I solved the problem. So he had two problems here he wants to solve. Right? He wants to solve why the Gemara says it's Rabbi Yehuda, if it's not only Rabbi Yehuda. But he's also bothered by something else, which he said, that was the opening thing that he said. He said it together. I'm not making this up, which is, why, Lewis? The Rambam and the Rif and the Rash do not mention the chiluk of Isa l'gavaza l'Isa l'gavaza. They don't mention it. Why not? The Rambam never bothers to offer a definition of what a tree is, as far as I know. He certainly doesn't quote that Gemara. So the Tzlach's assumption in his whole Mahalach is that because only Rabbi Yehuda holds the Isa l'gavaza l'Isa l'gavaza. And since the Rambam doesn't possibly like Rabbi Yehuda, we don't hold that that's not the distinction that we hold with. He's trying to solve, that was the beginning of the Omnil Fiestati parish, the Karek Tiber Rambam, Unadakte Gamke Lama Hishlan Rambam Bachil Shilapere Ilanatmo, Benechel the Shakla Pere Isla Gvaza, Bahadam Apikola. He still wants to solve both of those problems. So, yes, whoever just asked that question, what do the Chacham hold about Isla Gvaza, Lesla Gvaza? The answer is they don't hold of it. That's only for Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The Havamina for Rabbi Yehuda was, the Havamina is that since it's called, the Chita is called an Elon. Since Chita is called an Elon, if you made a Borei Priha Eitzan at your birthday, and why? Well, because guess what? It's got a stalk, and a stalk is like an Elon, Ezra. Kamash Valan, that the way we define things for the Bracha Borei Priha Eitz, as opposed to the story in Gan Eden, is Isa Ligvaza, Lesa Ligvaza. Now, the Pesach's point is that even if you say, you must admit that the Gvaza provides some amount of nourishment to the wheat kernels, not the primary source. The primary source is the ground. So if that's the case, why indeed couldn't you make a Borei Priha Eitz? If the, why not say that the Gvaza is the Ilan, or is the Ara, right? Is the Ara, that Ikar Gvaza, well, no. Why not say that Ikar Ilan Gevazahi? Well, it's not the Ikar, it's the Tata. It only gives a little bit. And the fact that you can no longer make a bracha, a Borei Priha Eitz, and it tells you that the Tafel source of nourishment cannot be regarded in the bracha. And hence, now when you go back and look at the first part of the Mishnah, when we say that you're Yotze with a Borei Priha Eitz, a Borei Priha Adama on Peiros HaIlan, why must that be? Well, it can't be a case. It can't be that the Ara, that the Adama, is the minority source of nutrition for the fruits, because if it were, you wouldn't be Yotze with Borei Priha Adama, according to what we established in the Sefer of Mishnah. So it's not that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda on either din. It's that they disagree on the Yisod that's driving the Mishnah, and the Yisod that has to be driving the Sefer is Rabbi Yehuda and Chita, because otherwise, Kishita, why do you have to tell us that? So the only answer we can explain why you had to tell us the din is because we're thinking about Rabbi Yehuda and Chitim, and for Rabbi Yehuda and Chitim, you have to assume that minority in the source of nourishment doesn't count. That's why Borei Priha Eitz on the Chita doesn't work, even though the Gevaza provides some amount of nourishment. And thus, when we say in the first part of the Mishnah that the first part of the Mishnah must be assuming when you, there's the reason that Beirech al Peiros HaIlan Borei Priha Adama as Yatsa is because Ikar Ilan Arahu. The majority of the source of the nourishment of the fruits comes from the Karka, comes from the Adama. Hence, Yotze with Borei Priha Adama. Not because Peiros HaIlan are called Borei Priha Adama. That's what the Chachamim would say. But rather because Ikar Ilan Ara. Let's read the, just read the rest of it. Go ahead, Boaz. If, after all, the primary source of the nourishment is the tree, how could you be Yotze with Borei Priha Adama? Elavadai. So now the Seifa is consistent with the Reisha. The Chol Zeh. Okay, now we're going to have a problem here, but he says so far, for the Rabbanon, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the bracha is good on Peiros, Borei Priha Adama is good on Peiros HaIlan? Because the Ikar Ara Ilanhu. Why did the Rabbanon say that Borei Priha Adama is good on fruits of the tree? Because Tafel the Ara, the Ilan Ara. Because the Rabbanon don't require the Ikar. How do you know they don't require the Ikar? Because the Torah calls, what is the argument, by the way, between the Rabbi and the Chachamim about, ironically? I mean, the Tzach really forces you into this corner. Machlokas and Matthias. In other words, the Machlokas is, how do you read the Pasuk of Hine Vesius Rishis Priha Adama? So each one reads it in light of the Metzias that they assume. Rabbi Yehuda assumes that Ikar Ilan Arahu, therefore, and I mean, unless he learns the Metzias from the Pasuk, but that would be worse. We'd have each darshaning opposite Metzias from the Pasuk. In other words, you have one of two choices. You could say they start with the Metzias, or Rabbi Yehuda starts with an assumption. The Torah would never call it Priha Adama, unless it were Ikar Ilan Arahu. And the Rabbanon say what? The Torah would call a Kriya Dama if it's a Tafa. I understand where Yehuda comes from, where the Chacham come from. I think it starts with the assumption of Machlokas of what is the role of the Karka in terms of producing the fruits of the tree, right?
Why can't it come from what you think about
Nitzah? Well, what's that? But Ephraim, why would mitzvah yunika, let's say you hold like the Rabbanan, that mitzvah yunika is sufficient. Why would that lead you to assume that pri ha'adama is that's not the way he presents it. He presents it that the chachamim know that mitzvah yunika works because the Torah calls fruits of the tree pri ha'adama.
I mean, that's the easier sheet to think. We had something by Bikurim, the decision which by this raised from Shishish to Shabbat, so therefore it could be a source from there. And if you have a second sheet which creates more friction in this context, it tells you that it's coming from somewhere else, which forces him to have friction here. Is my friction terminology unclear?
It is a little unclear to me. Let's look at what the Tzlach says. The Tzlach says that the Rabbanan know that mitzvah yunika is sufficient for the bracha purposes because it's sufficient by Bikurim. How do you know it's sufficient by Bikurim? Because the Torah says, calls it Pri Adama, even though it's only mitzvah yunika. But how do they know it's only mitzvah yunika? Because they assume it's only mitzvah yunika. See, Rabbi Yehuda, you could learn the din for the pasuk almost. Rabbi Yehuda might start with the svara that mitzvah yunika doesn't count. You need ikar yunika. And therefore, if the Torah calls fruits of the tree pri adama, obviously the Torah is telling you that the primary source of the food substance is the karka. But for the chacham, you can't say that. Because if you and I looked at the pasuk where it says pri adama, the Torah is calling fruits pri adama, what is the conclusion that we will naturally reach? That it's called pri adama even though it's mitzvah yunika? Or that it's called pri adama because it's ikar yunika? If we didn't know anything about the mitzvah, what would our assumption be? I would assume, because it's the ikar yunika. If you know that the tree is only mixed, the fruits are only mixed as yunika, then Bal Kochach, you have to read the pasuk to teach you that mixed as yunika is sufficient.
Well, if you didn't want to read that, what would you replace it with? Because you can't replace it with Kriya 8, because then you have the other non-8 Shiva Samina. So you're sort of forced into the Kriya Adama. And then the problem with...
Well, okay, but you're pointing out the more obvious point, which is everybody understands that Priya, you don't need to do lumbus in Yunika. That Priya eats the Chav, Priya Adama, because it grows in the ground. Right? You just asked, what you just described, Jen Jake said, is the Torah made a, is the Vodashol made a Bari Priya Adama on Parasila? That's what you just said. Right?
Yeah.
But you can't, don't give me svaras, even if they're logical. Because that's not what's, right? The logical svara is the second approach of the Yerushalmi, it's Ravina Yona, it's probably what the Rambam's talk is. Right? But we're not working in that world. Right now we're working in the world that if Dhamma, that's not compelling enough. I'm not telling you, by the way, that I buy into this. Listen, I'm pretty sure that the Mechkar Teretz is the correct Teretz here. The rest of this is very, some of the Teruts in Echronim offer are, I'll say, Kurov al-MS, and some of them are Kurov al-Edrush. That's what I would say. This is Tobin. It's not, right? The best Teretz that I think that he gives, let me just say, his first and third Teirutzim are far more compelling than this Teretz. This Teretz is brilliant because it solves the Rambam submission of the Gemara problem. That's why it's wonderful, but it's not really compelling.
So you can see Pri Adama. You could say, okay, it's Pri Adama because they're all Pri Adama. Or you could say, because they're all Ikar Adama. Or you could say that it's Pri Adama because it was called all of them, and even the Pri Adama is because Yunika. It's not a Machlokas on the Teretz.
Well, I think it definitely is, but no, the point is the Rabbanon look at the Pasuk, right? The Pasuk just tells you that fruits of the tree are called Pri Adama. Mm-hmm. Just tells you that. The Rabbanon say, the way the Tzlach presents it, because all of his presentation doesn't say this in the Gemara, that the Rabbanon hold that mitzvah yunika qualifies. Why? Because the Torah calls the fruits of the tree Pri Adama, even though it's only mitzvah yunika. The way he says that means that the Chachamim started out knowing that there was only mitzvah yunika, And yet, so you see that even the Tisunika could be called free Adam. And therefore, in other words, and therefore, when it comes to a bracha of Borei Pri Hadama on Peres HaIlan, it's fine, because it is Peres HaAdama. Why? Because Mitzvah Sinika comes to the Adama. Rabbi Huda looks at this pasuk and says, starts with a svara, which is there's no way that the Torah could possibly say that Ikar Ilan Lav Arahu, because otherwise the Torah would never have called it Pri HaAdama. Now, once Ikar Ilan Arahu, so now, if you make a Borei Pri Adama, Borei Pri on a Peres Ilan, you're Yotze for a different reason. For the Chacham, you're Yotze because it's Mitzvah Yenika. For you, the Yotze because it's Rubo Yenika, because it's Ikar Yenika. That's the Machlokas of Matthias. It's just that by the way he presents it, as I read it, when it comes to Bikurim as the source, the Chacham start with the Matthias and hence learn the din that Mitzvah Yenika counts. And Rabbi Yehuda starts with the Pasuk and says there's no way you could have mixed the Sinika only, and the Torah call it this. He starts with the Svara, not with the Metzias, and therefore the Pasa has to be assuming a certain Metzias. I know it's not very popular to have, this is almost, it's not only Nachlokes to the Metzias, but one brings the Metzias to the Pasuk, and one brings the Pasuk to the Metzias. That's what's happening. Right? The Chachamim use their Metzias to interpret the Pasuk, for the way he's explained it. Rabbi Yehuda uses the Pasuk to infer, to derive his shita, that it's Ikar Yenika. Shemi?
When I read the Tzlach, I don't think I read Ikar quite the way you're using it. Like you're saying, it's the difference between Mixas Yenika and Ikar Yenika. But I didn't see Ikar as having anything to do with Yenika. I thought Ikar is more of a categorization principle that the Chachamim don't hold, but they still have a statement about Yenika. And
that,
in which case, there's no
muscle. I thought it was clearly the thought. I don't know if you want to use the ikar. You could roll hayunika if you want to use it.
I mean, he uses the word ikar. He never used the ikar in connection with yunika.
I think that's what it means. Ikar ilan ara means, and read with Rashi, the primary source of the peiros is from the karka. That's what it means.
I thought it was more of a categorization that we consider ilan part of ara.
No. I don't think so. If you look in the beginning of Omnam, in the fourth line, the Mishnah Seiru Vada Sriya Velo Mahani Mixis Inika Ela Achar HaIkar Azlinan. The opposite of Mixis Inika is the Ikar Yanika. I know he doesn't repeat the word, but I thought that's what he meant by that. Boaz, you like the phrase, like in a doctoral dissertation, if any of you ever defend a PhD thesis. Just remember. Yes. If you ever defend it, the trick, they say, is to get two of the advisors arguing with one another, because there's like a time limit, so if they start to argue their own shittas with one another, you just duck. That was apparently back in the days when you had smicha, oral bechinas, and it was the Rav and Rav Dr. Belkin, maybe, and Rav Paleach, the Chorav Rach, I forget exactly who the second and third were. The trick was to get like the Rav and is either Shaktis or Plan arguing with one another. To get them arguing with one another, then they wouldn't be asking you questions. So they thought, okay, fine, we've had enough. You're a rabbi now. So, what?
Doctoral
usually it's about the time schedule. It's not that, not that they couldn't go over, but they don't. They're not going to go on for 2 hours. So, you know, if they want to deny you your passing, they can do it more quickly.
Yeah, they're just going to.
But most of the time, you don't step in there until you're ready, you actually got to pass. It's usually a formality. So. But still, it can be an unnerving experience. So if you want to make it a more nerving experience, okay, you get them arguing with one another. So Boaz, put you back on the hot seat. Go ahead.
Okay.
Upasak
Arambam. Upasak Arambam. It's common to the Kurim. That feel happy. Upasak Le'inan Bracha Shuyatsa.
So there's no stira. Why? Because the Rambam Paskin said Ikar Ilan Lav Arahu, and only the mixes in Ikas from the Karka. That's why by Bikurim you can't say Hevesi Merishis Kol Periha Adamar Shem Asat Ali Hashem, because whatever, some type of a reason, because the Adama, the primary Adama, isn't there anymore. But when it comes to Peros HaIlan, so it is still called Pri HaAdama. Lewis?
Is something in my suggestion, what Shani was saying about the car?
You're taking his side? Go ahead.
so it, the like four lines up from the previous paragraph. She'ain ikar hazama kayam sha'ilan hu ikar tahari yavesh. Like it sounds like ikar is some kind of more abstraction, more than abstraction in that line at least. Because obviously the tree is not the ikar hazama, unless we're talking about ikar as in what's.
I think the ikar is the nourishment of the fruits.
So this is ikar hazama.
Yes, adama is the term. Adama is the term for that which provides nourishment to the fruits. The way he's using it, so ikar adama kayam. Because if it's for the rabbana, the ikar adama is the ilan, and it's gone because it's all dried up or got cut down. So I don't know that that. In other words, ikar adama simply means he's used the terminology in funny, but it's really ikar ilana is the way the Gemara uses the term, the primary source of nourishment for the fruits.
I thought about he was talking about how you can't fit in this way. I share my thoughts with you. As in ikar, as in that what is actually valuable to me in this context of the land is the tree, and the tree's no longer there. In which case, it's more ikar has more of a sense of like value and utility as opposed to a like physical process.
I don't think so, but okay. Not going to be laborious. Pasach Harama, go ahead. Again, Vahadalo Pasach.
Vahadalo Pasach Rabbi Yehuda Legamer. Mishun Deloza Ephonim, Ardistam, Tanakavasa. Shari Gam, the Rabbanon, Ase Risha Shabir, Vasefa, Gamkin, Ase Shabir. Shalapanam, Adin, Din Amesh, the Birate Al Heroes, the Ared, the Verbria 8, Lo Yotso.
Okay, now, so the Rambam says, so the Slach says, so the Rambam wants to pass him. Why then did he pass him like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda? So he says, because you don't have a Stam Mishnah that was really, it's not a Stam Kavase the Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Din and the Mishnah is the same for both. There's no disagreement over either Din. Neither the Reishas is established already, nor now he's going to say the Sefer. But here's the question for you. Why, indeed, according to the Chachamim, is that not true? Why, according to the Chachamim, when you make a bracha on wheat, why is it that if you make a borei pri ha'etz on wheat, you're not yotze? If, after all, mixas unika does come from the stalk. And the Chachamim hold that mixas unika is sufficient for bracha purposes. Why are you laughing? Right, but that the problem is, this is what I'm reading, is baffling. Okay, it's such a nice hesperus, but then why do the Chachamim, I understand why they agree in the Reisha, that for bracha purposes, Rabbi Huda says, for bracha purposes, the ikar is the adama, and that's why we spoke about earlier and showed the question, okay, then why do you make a bori pri eight, something that's ill enough, then really bori pri adama. See, this is that was the kind of the Chachamim. But the Chachamim sheet is that you only need mixes and ikar for bracha, so just like your yotze, where bori pri adama on fruits of the tree, because mixes and ikar come from adama, so why couldn't you be yotze, bori pri eight, on chita, if mixes and ikar comes from the eights, comes from the ilan?
Because there's no river under which this thing was getting the ikar from is an eight in the first place.
Okay, so you're saying wheat, according to the Rabbanan, is not a tree.
So that was the horsepower of the
talk. Yes, I understand, but you first get to ask the question for a second, but if you can invert it, because there's another machlokas here, where the wheat is a tree. That's the crucial part of, you have to bring in the machlokas of what the tree was and got into it, because we have to talk about what's called a tree. Okay, go ahead. Continue, boss.
The
Rabbanan Sunalei,
the chita lav ilanhu, the etadat lo hayachita.
Right, so that's why. There's no tree here to talk about. There's the ground, there's the tree, where's the ika yanika? Because in this case, why do we know, in a certain sense, why is it that the ika yanika is from the ground, not from the stalk? What makes that so? Because the stalk dies back, and you have to plant the new one. That's because when you take the gevaz is gone. If the gevaz is gone, then the gevaz is not to be treated as a tree for bracha purposes. But the Rabbanan never even got to that place. It's not that the Rabbanan think that if there's mixas yinika through the kvasa, therefore it's a tree. Right? Rather, the Chacham think it's not a tree in the first place. But it also means, as we said earlier, that the definition of of a tree is not dependent necessarily upon Gevazda. That's why the Rambam omits it. He doesn't need to, because that's only for Rabbi Yehuda. Only for Rabbi Yehuda is it necessary to offer that definition to explain why he rejects the Bori Pri Eitz and Chida. Because for Rabbi Yehuda, when the Gevazda is gone, even if you don't have to replant it yourself, it happens on its own, for Rabbi Yehuda, it's no longer a Bori Pri Eitz. And Chida, therefore, is not a Bori Pri Eitz anymore. Even though Rabbi Yehuda believed that Chita is an Eitz because it was the Eitz Hadas, but for the Rabbanan who don't believe that Chita was the Eitz Hadas, because wheat is not a tree, we don't even have to get into this discussion. What is it nourishing? There is no tree here. Shani?
I don't think that Brita about the Eitz Hadas really proves that the Rabbanan think wheat isn't a tree. I mean, like, you can assume they probably don't, but, like, just because, like, the reason why they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, like, they're giving reasons not because wheat isn't a tree, but because we have other aspects of the Eitz Hadas that we're trying to get from other plants.
No, that's such a klutz something reading. I don't know what that belongs to. You can't read, when they say Taina, and they say Geffen, they're not thinking about Rabbi Yehuda's crazy sheet of Ashkenazim.
Oh, yeah.
Right? What were you driving? I don't understand.
You can't learn from there that they think that wheat isn't the tree because they don't suggest it.
No, that's correct. You would assume they don't think wheat is a tree because wheat is not a tree.
That's a better argument.
But they're not coming to reject Rabbi Yehuda. I agree, they're not because Rabbi Yehuda's sheep. They're not thinking about Rabbi Yehuda's sheep. Because they're probably thinking, who in their right minds would think that the wheat was Eitz Hadas? Right?
Don't Josh say we're not focused on Shin, meaning we know that we know all this, but shouldn't we assume that everyone else agrees that we have
no
reason to
assume otherwise? Well, this Sparta here is so compelling. Rabbi Yehuda's sheep is so dachos. To call Chita an Ivan. If this Gemara didn't exist, is there a single person of the 7 billion people on the planet who would have thought that the Eitz Hadas was Chita? I mean, the answer is yes. It would probably have been about at least about 700, because no matter how crazy and freakish, outlandish, and nuts so a thing may sound, even if it's a 1 in 100 million, there are going to be 70 people on the planet who think that way. And with the internet, we find out about 63 of them. So, in the past, we would have just assumed they didn't exist because we think that God doesn't do crazy, but apparently he does do crazy. Yes. Jake? This is, by the way, totally not our style of learning. It's good to be exposed to it. It's not the way we think. You know, Ronnie pointed out that he was reading the Tzlach afresh at the beginning, and he said the Tzlach assumed that, of course, the Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda must be the same in both places. And our intuitive instant reporting was, of course, the Tanakhama is not the same. Why would I assume? The immediate answer is the Tanakhama is not the same. The Gemara, by the way, in general, but Derech Klal, not in this case, we can go both ways on that under certain circumstances. But yeah, we wouldn't have assumed that way because we're not looking for Ichud. We're looking for things on its own, but the job of the pilpulist, as it is for the frisker, is to try the London. The job of the London is to make everything fit together nicely. Londonim Londonim have small minds, right? Because consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds. All right. Anyway. Yes, I forget who, a famous author who said that. Yeah, go Google and you'll find out who said consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds. Lewis, you're the same. Okay. All right. So, what?
Emerson.
Yes. Okay. There you go. Boaz, finish the paragraph, and then we'll give you relief.
That's
my last one.
Thank you.
Shita. The problem is the reason why we made break Rabbi Yehuda is not because the din of Beirach of Peros Aretz Lorei Pri HaEitz Lo Yatza. It's not because the Rabbanim don't agree with it. It's because why would they have even needed to tell us it? So it must be Rabbi Yehuda who needs to tell us this about Shita. Once we do that, we're forced to adopt the Shita. The Mitzvah Sinika doesn't count for bracha purposes, and therefore we're forced to say what's going on in the Resha is not a case of Mitzvah Sinika, which would be Aliva the Rabbanim, but rather Ikar, Ilan, Arahu, Alida the Rabbi Yehuda. Go ahead. Well, but she'll say. Right? You can't say that Stam Tana, even if the Gemara wants, and this is an assertion which could be a little challenged, but he's saying that you cannot invoke an argument Stam, you know, maybe it's actually compelling. Why do we say that Stam Mishnah is halacha to Stam Mishnah?
Because we wouldn't have written the Stam if it weren't halacha.
Because Rebbe's trying to communicate us something about the din writing at the Stam. Now that's an argument to be made about the din that's found in the Mishnah, that's the correct din. Because we choose to understand that because of a chiddush, Rebbe was telling us that even for Rabbi Yehuda, who says that chita menilan, still you're not yotzei very praise, therefore it's a stam mishnah Rabbi Yehuda. No. The Rebbe's telling us that everybody agrees to these dinim. Rebbe only might not have told us the latter din if it weren't for Rabbi Yehuda's interesting shita by shita. But at the end of the day, when Rebbe has told us what the din is, that din is even al dibet hachachamim. So you can't say it's a stam. The Gemara said mam tana. Who's the Tana of the Mishnah? They said it's Rabbi Yehuda, but that's because of the Seifa. But it's not because the din is Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agrees to both din, the ratio of the Seifa. The Seifa is only driven by a Pshita question. That's why it was Lo Nitzracha Elul Rabbi Yehuda who said that Tlitas Mini Magu. Okay. Go ahead. Umei Ata.
Umei Ata Shabokachnu L'Rabbanan Azinam Gamba Sarmita Sinigo V'gein Hashmita Achilok Shabin Shkot.
Shikalta legavaza.
Hold
on, I think that was the Gemara's chiluk.
Right. Shikol zeh hukrachnu l'Rabbi Yehuda the agel vaser ikar. Avol Rabbanan mokaf the love the inan ikar leika leika lechude itahaki uchol inan nevaris vary kriya eight.
Okay, so he says it explicitly. He does say bracha bechatana. He says the end according to Rabbanan the whole, which means again that's a very radical assertion. I don't remember. What the hell is this quote in the Shulchan Aruch? So the Mechaber does, the Mechaber doesn't quote the reason, but he does pass them that way. He says, "Alatusim agbeila b'desei bari pri adama." And then the Rama says, "The lomikri eitz al shemotzi al beito, al shemash shemotzi olav misharashav, no mikri eitz. V'hani kevan b'kala eitz of legamri b'achorav ahadar parach misharashav, mevarchan alayim bari pri adama." Right. Since the runners remain underground, you don't have to replant strawberries, but the actual plants of the strawberries that the fruit grows out of are not the parts that are left over in the winter. It's not like a blueberry bush, and therefore you make a bari pri adama on it. Despite what the Tzlach says, my assumption always has been that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim don't assume any other chiluk. I mean, even Tosfos here that we'll have to read and talk about, Tosfos I don't think assumes on the way the Tzlach does that, you know, Tosfos has a suffix about strawberries. The strawberries are the I think but bunpunish. I think are the strawberries. The strawberry smells fantastic. No. Friesish, whatever that is. Are strawberries. Right, Tosis's suffix over that is not whether we pass over from Yehuda the Chacham. It's a question of what the Gemara means. You know, because Gevaza could mean, you know, there are two ways of reading the Gemara. One way of reading the Gemara is Gevaza means. Doesn't have to be the tree itself. It means any part of the plant that's still there so that you don't have to replant next year. In other words, the Gemara could just be read as saying, if you don't have to replant it each year because it grows back on its own, that's Bari Priya Eitz. If you have to plant it, that's Bari Priya Adama. Because that fits wheat. Wheat is that the well of wheat. How do you ever get, when you get Sfichim of wheat, when you don't plant it, how does Sfichim come about? Because seeds, some of the seeds fall on the ground and you don't bother, you don't have them, and they self-plant in effect. They get self-seeded. But outside that, if you did a perfect job and you left not a single chita in the field, a kernel, there will be no more wheat next year. There will be no more wheat. So, if someone an engineer breeds such a wheat, Monsanto would come and sue them on no grounds because it would kill their business model. If your wheat self-generated the next year, that would be great. Okay, sorry for the Marxist speaking. Let's move on.
Yeah, yes? Monsanto has apparently genetically engineered the wheat that the seeds that they're selling, that the wheat kernels that will sprout won't grow.
Well, won't, correct. Unbelievable. Yes?
No, that's how you got bread wheat.
Red pot?
If I'm going to do that, I'd rather engineer it so that money grows on trees. But okay. Fine. All right, so this was the set. So the first approach was that, so now just to step back a second to review where we are. The first approach was that our sugya says, if you were to follow only our Mishnah sugya, you should pass the like Rabbi Yehuda across the board. However, we have a sugya about snow and zayis, which assumes, not like our Mishnah, it assumes the din of, if you make a borei kriya dama on fruit, you're yote. So obviously that sugya rejects our sugya. It rejects our sugya, even though we don't know for sure, it probably reads the Mishnah not the way our sugya did, but it reads the Mishnah like the second day in the Yerushalmi. So that's the model of fine machlokas ha-sugyas, the Rambam pasuk like a different sugya. The second approach of the Tzlach is to explain that when the Gemara said man tana Rabbi Yehuda, it didn't mean to say that the din is only in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, but rather that the tana of the Mishnah happens to be Rabbi Yehuda. You know, in another way of saying it is the following. Suppose that we know that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agree on the din. And the Mishnah, but we know that they agree on the din, but each has a different reason. And the Mishnah says that the din is such, and here's Rabbi Yehuda's reason. Would that mean that we pascha like Rabbi Yehuda? Well, the Tzlach is not dafka. And here it didn't state the reason explicitly. It means that the Mishnah chose to give this reason. And according to the Chachamim's reason, it doesn't tell you, stam Mishnah means, when you have a Mishnah that tells you a din, that's a certain way, as opposed to the din being the other way. Here the din is the same, it's just a different reason. So the Mishnah chose to work with Rabbi Yehuda's reason, but that doesn't mean we pass it with Rabbi Yehuda versus the Chachamim. Now, in Hilchos Brachos, there's no nafkamina, because Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim both agree that you're yotzei with the Bar Priya Adama on fruits of the tree. Where do they argue? Where does the machlokas over mixus yinika, ikar yinika come into play? By Bikurim. So there it's a machlokas. The fact that the Mishnah might formulate the same din that they all agree on here, but the Gemara is able to infer that it must be assuming Rabbi Yehuda's reason, because the reason in the Seifa that we have to teach to this, which the Chachamim also agreed to, is because of Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim wouldn't need to waste our breath on the Seifa, it would have been so obvious. That doesn't mean that we have a Stam Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda, because every din in this Mishnah the Chachamim agreed to, for a different reason than Rabbi Yehuda, but they agreed to the din. And therefore, you cannot employ any principle that Stam Mishnah is to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's not a Stam Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda. The Stam Mishnah is like everybody. But the reasoning behind the way the Mishnah was formulated would be to capture Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about a different issue, and therefore we assume it's following Rabbi Yehuda's mahalach across in terms of Siddur. But the din is the same. So that, in effect, is what is the Nodei Yehuda, what is the Tzlach doing here in terms of the Gemara? Right, the first Shita said, read the Gemara exactly as you thought it meant. But there's another sugya that argues on it. What is this Shita saying? That you have to read the Gemara differently. When the Gemara said Man Tana Rabbi Yehuda, it meant that this Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda, but not in the din, but only in the Svara. So you modified Man Tana to understand that it's not that he's that Stam Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's an anonymous Mishnah that incorporates Rabbi Yehuda's din, but rather it's a Stam Mishnah that is working with Rabbi Yehuda's reason, even though the Chacham agreed to the din. That's approach number two. Approach number three. Odir Lafianis Daitu. Eitan? Yeah?
Earlier I was doing a Daitu. The time to be around on those, as you were talking about Gadi. And the time to see that there were interpretations of your master, you would be improved. She comes to the Yuda, the Halakha, the Yuda, the time that he left the Yuda, 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 the
Okay, so what is he saying? So what's the question here? As I finish, the Teda.
The Teda, Shahrei Mayan, Vada in a maker. We Vada had a maker, Yotan and Mayan. We have been watching a current. El Shaf, Sinuka, Varus, Dibri Ravanan Ka, Ava Akapanim, Eman Rakakam, Dibri, and Baker Yuan Ara. Shrey Akapanim, in a current of the Dibu.
Okay, so what has he done so far? So we've established that what is the reason, and this is we discussed this very early on. What is the reason that you don't read if the Mayan dries up? So if you say that Yavesh HaMayan means the Ilan dries up because the Mayan dries up, so fine, it's the same reason for Nitzvah Ilan. But there's another possibility, and the Rambam definitely reaches these two different things. Right? The Rambam used the word O. Yavesh HaMayan, O Nitzvah Ilan. So then you're left with the question, well, why, as he says, nobody's going to say that the Mayan is Ikar Arahu. The Ilan might be, but not the Mayan.
The Rambam dries up.
No, the Mayan dries up. The spring that you would use to water the tree if you wanted the fruit to grow. If you say that the tree became that same, it's not what he says. It is Yavesh HaMayan, O Nitza Ta'ima. So again, it would have been possible to read those as, you could possibly say Yavesh HaMayan, he's not reading that when it means the tree dries up, even though it says Yavesh HaMayan. The reason why the tree dries up is because the Mayan dries up. Shimmy?
I would say that Yavesh HaMayan means that now the ground is useless because it no longer has its spring. The Mayan is part of the ground.
Right. Water the ground anymore, so it has no power.
Really? Because you can bring in water from somewhere else.
Yeah,
it is.
So then
they did it all the time.
Mayan isn't that really important. It isn't really important, though, if you have the mayan. I mean, it is. Mayan kind of assumes
you can't
in the spring you use. You
use to grow the fruit with it, it's true.
Yeah.
But the point is, the adama isn't gone.
I mean, it's not gone, it's just kind of.
It's a little harder to use. It might lose something, but the point is you can still grow stuff from the scrap. You cut the tree down, you cannot grow stuff from the tree.
Right. It's not water.
I know, but the Mayan isn't intrinsic to the karka. It happened to have been located there. It was very convenient. Right?
Just to point
that
to a question before, should we start keeping track of all of the pots of land which at one point had a Mayan? Because if anyone had a Mayan lost it, now you don't maybe come from it anymore.
No. Nobody would say that if you had a plot of land where the Mayan dried up and you now irrigated it with ditches and brought the water in and grew fruit, nobody would say it's not high of a mikor.
So, what am I doing?
It means, in this case, you grew fruits from this ground and you were dependent upon the Mayan, and that Mayan is no longer there.
But so what?
So the question is, why then do you not read? The tree you understand.
Yeah.
Because the tree, you say, is the Ikha. You can understand
it's
the tree.
It's literally taking it off the ground.
Correct. But the Mayan but the Mayan helped in the process, but you wouldn't say that the Mayan is Ikar Ara, is Ikar Ilan.
I mean, you can plant the tree all you want. If you don't have water to grow it, it's not going to grow. Period. Like both of these, you have to have a tree, obviously, to grow the tree, but you also need the water to grow the tree, regardless if you have it or not.
There are a lot of things that you need sunlight also.
Yeah.
But I think
yeah,
we have, if the sun goes out, we have bigger problems.
Right, then you probably can't bring that up before because Sakanta.
You probably will bring the curve
through. No, they won't grow.
No,
it's that. What happens if you grew the fruits and all of a sudden Mount Pinatubo erupts and covers the earth and you can't see the sun anymore, it can't provide anything for the next couple of years?
Then maybe you can't bring the Kurum on the fruits. You can't see the Kurum on those fruits.
It's all as good as much.
Okay. Purim is still 5 weeks away.
I'm Marvin.
Marvin said, Shimmy?
I'm a little confused by this original question of the first book. He says, but I thought he said there was no order between
them. Well, that was the point. It was a question of Emes Lachor Dream Tamum, Sherry Stam, Achor Machlok, yes. It could, doesn't mean it is, but it could be. Shimma Shik Shepanei Yeshua.
Right, but so suppose it's passing one way. Why is he not able to do that?
It's a suffix.
I guess.
Why would they say we must pass like a Yehuda? Because you have a Stam Mishnah like a Yehuda.
Yeah,
the
question is why
we
have to. Okay.
Yeah. Tosus reaches the conclusion you pass like a Yehuda because it's Stam. So he says that the Rabbanan on the Mayan is not the, it's not because it's the Mayan is not the Ikar here. The Adama is Ikar as a Yoser min HaMayan. Rafilu hachi eno kare. So his point is that even though you could explain the Rabbanan as Ikar Ilan Arahu, in other words, the Rabbanan could agree that Ikar Ilan Arahu. Why then don't you read Bikurim? Because it doesn't, like, it looks weird, like you're kvetching against God. A person lived in a house for a year, enjoyed it very much, and wants to thank your Baruch Shem, the house burns down. Now, logically speaking, you could thank God for having had the house for the previous 364 days. But it looks kind of funny to say, God, thank you so much for the house that I lived in. That's now in ashes. Very nice. Near a kikova. It looks like you're fetching. It doesn't look like you're... So once that's the reason, it might be the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda, the Ikar Ilan Arahu, which means nobody disagrees with that premise. So then why does the Gemara say, Mantana Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Ikal Arahu, if the Rabbanan also hold that way? So he says, Alvav Alko Panu Gareitan. The beginning of the line. Alvav Alko Panu. Okay, so and so what does he mean here? So I understand the first part. The part that's really relevant to our sugya is that when it says Ma'atana Rabbi Yehuda, that might be the Rabbanan agree, but we can't say for certainty. They don't express their... The Rabbanan may be getting stuck on something else, that he doesn't want to be... You don't want him to be near a kikova. So it might be they would agree that without the concern about it, it looks like he's twitching at God. So it might be that the Rabbanan would agree with Rabbi Yehuda, the Ikar Ilan Arahu, but you can't tell that from the Shita. So whenever the Gemara will say that, it will say, oh, by the way, you know, who is the author of this pricing? The problem he has, this Mishnah, the problem he has is explaining why Shittos is possible with Rabbi Yehuda if it's not clear at all that you have a Stam Mishnah Kanase. Go ahead.
The
All right, so I understand the Rambam's. You understand the Rambam's position is that since we have a Stam Mishnah here and we have a Tana Chachamim there, we have two ways to read the Stam Mishnah. Either it's only Rabbi Yehuda or it's even the Rabbanan. So the Rambam says, okay, why not assume that it's the Rabbanan as well? Because we have the Rabbanan or the Tana Kama, that position is the Tana Kama of the Mishnah Bikurim. So why not read the two accounts? Assume that the Tana Kama, the Rabbanan there disagree because it's near Kikovo, but they agree that Ilan Ikar Arahu, and that's why this Mishnah is Stam Mishnah is formulated here in accordance with the opinion of Tana Kama. I understand the Rambam's position. I don't understand how he's explaining Tosos. Lewis?
Well, I was just
saying,
what's the difference between this explanation of the Rambam and the previous explanation? Because his previous explanation said Ramadan didn't hold Ikar Ilan
Arahu.
Now he's saying Rambam would hold this.
Right, he's saying the Rambam previously was passed like the Rabbanan, and Mishnah Sinika is sufficient to establish Bracha Bikurim. Now he's saying, no, the Rabbanan agreed with the principle that Ikar Ilan, in other words, it's not just the din of the Mishnah the Rabbanan might agree with. The Rabbanan agreed with the Svar of the Mishnah. The Svar of the Mishnah could remain whether or not you use the Sefer, whether you draw any of that in. The Svar of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, is Ilan Ikarah. The reason why we thought the Rabbanan didn't hold that way is because they said you can't read the Parsha Mikra Bikurim when the Ilan is no longer there. But that might be, have nothing to do with the Ikar. They might agree that Ikar, that Ilan Ikar Arahu. The reason they say you don't read is for a totally different reason, because it doesn't look right.
So you're saying, if you didn't both possible reasons, like the first, like, three fourths of the
flock.
That's one way to explain
Rambam.
There's another way to explain
it. There's a third. Yes, the third way is to explain Rambam. The first way is it's machlokas the Rambam like a different sugya. The second way is that the din of the Mishnah is the same for both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, both halves, but there's different svaras as to why. So the Gemara assumed, because of the Seifa, to explain the Pshita, that it was working with a different svar than the Chachamim. But that doesn't tell you how to paskin, as the Stam Mishnah, because since the din is the same for everybody, you can't say the Stam Mishnah for Rabbi Yehuda. And the third teres says, no, the Rabbanim even agree with the svar of Rabbi Yehuda. So why did the Gemara insist? That, in other words, why did the Gemara insist that the Reisha was Stam to Rabbi Yehuda? If after all, you could say the Seifa is Lo Nitzchach Rabbi Yehuda, but the Reisha you could have said everybody agrees Ilan the Ilan Ikar Arahu, because it's possible the Rabbanim don't agree with that. It's possible the Rabbanim believe that Ikar that Ilan Lot Ikar Arahu. And they rely upon, and therefore they might disagree with the din of the Mishnah, or the Rabbana do agree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they only disagree by Bikurim because of a totally unrelated reason, having nothing to do with the metaphysical, philosophical nature of the tree, but rather having to do with that you don't want the person to appear that they're fetching. So the Rabbana decided in the end why the Marba Machlokes, and the Rabbana agreed with the Stam Mishnah here, and they meaning they agree with the Mishnah Din because they agree with the Tab, but by Bikurim you don't read because you don't want to be near a Kikova. So that I understand. What I have a hard time understanding is why Tosfos then opt to say that based upon this Mishnah we have to pass the like Rabbi, we should pass like Rabbi Yehuda, if after all from the Gemara is not saying that our Mishnah is only Rabbi Yehuda. It's saying our Mishnah is definitely Rabbi Yehuda, and it might be the Rabbanan as well. So why should we jump? That's a reasonable statement to make. Why should Tosfos assume, therefore, we're going to go with the first approach, it's only Rabbi Yehuda, which is not what the Gemara said. It's only Rabbi Yehuda. Why not just say, it's definitely Rabbi Yehuda, it might be the Rabbanan as well, and now I have Mishnah Bikurim, so why should I assume one way in this Mishnah to pass like a Dasi Achen and Bikurim? Maybe I'll assume the other way. The Rambam's approach, I understand. Tosfos have a hard time understanding it, right? You mean he? Only by brachos?
No.
I thought about that. I don't think that can be what Tosfos means.
I think tzach.
I think he's saying that we. It doesn't make any sense, though.
What does that even mean? What is he saying?
In the Nira, the halacha Rabbi Yehuda, the stam on Tana Kavaseh. It's out, but only here by brachos.
And Bikurim is not a stam. And it's also a different focus.
That's so much to be modest in the words of Tosfos. Right? Tosfos is saying, you pass it like this Mishnah. Why? Even though it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, because it's Stam. So you tell them, if we don't pass it like a Bikurim. I don't think so. One second. Let me read, look at this again. I don't think so. But I have to think about that a little bit further. One last ta'ara. Can't forget about this. I want to suggest to you perhaps a different understanding of the another way to explain the Rambam. And fundamentally speaking, it really is like the Tzlach's second approach, right? I think it is the second approach, which is that in a Hanami the Chachamim could agree to the din. So why does the question is why is the Bavli, assuming the Bavli saw two reasons in the Yerushalmi, why would the Bavli have adopted, or a different way said, how do you know the Bavli adopted the first sheep and not the second sheep? What did Rabbi Yehuda say in Yerushalmi? The Ilan is Kikashine. The tree is like the straw. That's not how the Bavli formulates it, right?
Yeah,
But what does the Bavli talk about Ilan being Kakashin and Rabbi Yehuda? Shimon?
When it's talking about the Gan Eden stuff?
Yeah. In other words, the reason why the Bavli may have opted to interpret the Mishnah in this way is not because it believes that the Mishnah is really this. It's because the Bavli wants to expand upon Ilan Kitashin, which is the Agada in the second half. Because that's what Rabbi Yehuda is really saying. Ilan Kitadas is Kitashin. It's like the straw of the wheat. Now, once you establish that as the principle, then it's not Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah. It's not the Rabbanan, it's only Rabbi Yehuda, because the first day in Yerushalmi said it's Dafka Rabbi Yehuda. So it might very well be that the Bavli could explain, and I don't know if this would say it would help the Rambam, it would explain what the Bavli is doing with the Agada that follows. In other words, it has to be Rabbi Yehuda, the Ilan Kakashim, which is really the second part. Once you say that, why does Rabbi Yehuda Dafka say that your Yotze on Peiros Ilan when you say Borei Pri Ha'adama? Well, it must be if we know that Ikar Ilan Kashin Hain, so that is what the Bavli is doing. It's taking the second half, and out of that, it's creating the principle that a tree is no different than the Kashin. And just as when you have Kashin, you make a Borei Pri Adama, Ilan can be seen in the same light. You're not happy. Okay, so let's. I want to go on to the next segment. Tomorrow, I'll just go over this point, making sure I go to the beginning here, and then we will continue on. What you should do is do the Tabatim Tosos on Mem Amud Aleph, and the second and third Tososin on Mem Amud Beis going to the Mishnah. The second Tosos in particular is very difficult. Take a look at the Marsha. And look at the Tosfos HaRash on that. Okay.